The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Someone once asked a Buddhist teacher, "What is liberation like?" And the teacher answered, "Like a refreshing, like a gentle breeze in a warm spring day." So you can do with that what you wish. What is liberation like? A gentle breeze on a warm spring day. So with that as a background for what I'm going to say, I want to talk a little bit about what your responsibility is on this path of liberation and freedom. But to suggest that, because the word responsibility is such a loaded word, you know, it's like oppressive already. And maybe there's a better word, but I like to separate out the word responsibility into responsibility, the ability to respond, to understand what our ability to choose how we respond. Maybe choice is a better word than responsibility. But our responsibility, we have a responsibility, but how to do it like a gentle breeze on a warm spring day. Not a heavy thing, not a, you know, a burden, not this big thing that we measure ourselves by, or, you know, just almost it's almost as light and transparent or easeful as that gentle breeze. So there's the part of our lives which we're not responsible for, and there's a part of our lives we are. And there's all kinds of things happen to our being that just happen. So we're not responsible that we have the urge to pee. That just happens, and it's time and place, causes and conditions. I guess if you spend a lot of time drinking, maybe you're responsible, but you know, sooner or later you go through your life and you have the urge to pee. But where you pee is your responsibility. You know, your choice that this is the time to do it, or this is the time maybe I should wait a little bit. So there are natural phenomena that occurs. That you want to poop, that just happens. But then you have responsibility about, you know, what you do with that. So there's biological urges that happen. They just happen. And so then you get hungry. And so that just happens. You're not responsible for getting hungry, necessarily, unless you're fasting. It's just kind of what happens. These things arise. But then how do you respond to that? What are your choices with the hunger or whatever that goes on? And you have choice there. You have a choice with hunger. You have a choice when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, how to eat. There's a lot of, you know, you have your areas of choice, but getting hungry isn't your responsibility in the ordinary living of life. So in the same way, you're all getting older. And so you get these symptoms of age. And if you don't know it yet that you have them, you will. And so these symptoms come along of being, you're not responsible for that. Aging is just what happens. It's to be expected. How do you relate to that? What are your choices you make? Where is your responsibility about that? I spent two times now with taking people to see an anatomy lab at a local college, to see cadavers, and a group of Buddhists. It's kind of Buddhist death contemplation, and so this wonderful woman, who's the anatomy teacher there, gives us this tour and talks about the bodies, and she says one of the big lessons she's learned from seeing mostly what they get in the anatomy lab is they get old people's bodies. And she's learned from looking at these old bodies what a big difference it makes whether that people move their bodies in their lives. She's learned you have to keep moving. If you don't move, you're in trouble. You can see that in the corpses. So, but you'll age, for sure. But then, what is your responsibility to that? How do you respond to that? What are the choices you make? You have thoughts. Thoughts arise. You're not necessarily responsible for the thoughts that bubble up and arise. They just arise. And who knows why you have certain thoughts? Who knows what's in the air, what's traveling around, what you've picked up here and there? The mind is kind of pretty fickle and pretty impressionable, and all kinds of things can come up, right? I mean, I could very easily implant a thought in your mind. I have no psychic abilities whatsoever. But even without psychic abilities, I could plant a thought. I pretty much guarantee that I can have your mind say something against your will, unless you kind of like close your ears and don't hear, right? So if I say, for example, the hills are alive with the sound of... I think most of you probably finished that, right? And were you responsible? That you had a thought, right? That music was a thought. It popped up in your mind. And were you responsible? I'm responsible? I'm not responsible for what's in your mind. You have to take responsibility for that, right? Who's responsible? Where is that? You know, the mind does. Mind produces thoughts. That's what it does. It's a thoughting machine. So you don't have. You're not responsible for what comes up, but a lot of people take responsibility for it, and can feel bad about it and happy about it. But thoughts arise. But there is responsibility. There is choice. There is choices to be made when thoughts arise. Feelings arise. You're not necessarily responsible for what feelings arise, but there is some responsibility how you relate to that, what you do with it once the emotions occur. Desires arise. Aversions arise. And, you know, different. You know, for me, I'm kind of like a desire-type person, so for me, desires are a dime a dozen. I mean, I could sit here and, you know, in 1 minute I could have dozens of desires. They're easy for me. But I don't take them that seriously, mostly. You know, I just let them come and go. So I'm not responsible for having a desire, but I'm certainly responsible whether I act on it, whether I choose what I choose to do with it. Same thing, some people are more aversive types. They can have, they're a dime a dozen. You know, and give them a couple of minutes and they can kind of go through a whole string of things that they don't like or something. But, you know, that's just the way the mind, different minds work differently. So the things bubble up. So you're not necessarily responsible what shows up, but you are responsible for what you do with what shows up. And what is that responsibility? And how can we hold that responsibility in an effective way, in a way that effective means in a way that helps us, supports us in the world we live in? And how can we do it so that it's as lightly held or as easy as a gentle breeze in the warm spring day? Because some people, when they hear the word responsibility, take it really heavy. It's like a sledgehammer, not a gentle breeze. But I think that part of the delight and joy of this practice is seeing that choice and responsibility is something that we have, and that we can get involved in it and kind of choose and be involved. But the art of it is to understand just where the responsibility is, what you can do and what you can't do. Because if you feel like you're responsible for the things that you can't actually choose to do differently, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to trouble you. But if you choose the things where you do have it, can make a difference, then it can buoy you up. It can really support your life. And some things that we can't to have choice over today, you will tomorrow or next week or next year or some point as you practice. Part of the function of practice is to slowly develop the mindfulness and develop the flexibility of mind, the insight of the mind, so we begin seeing more and more areas of choice that we have. If you don't see where you have choice, there is no choice. And so don't beat yourself up if there's no choice, because you're not necessarily responsible for what comes up. But you are responsible for what you do with it and how you respond to it, or how you clean up your mess. And so, sometimes people do terrible things to each other because they're not really present, they're not really aware and mindful. But you are responsible sooner or later to clean up for yourself your mess and make amends and apologize perhaps or do something. So this two areas of life, and it's part of the art of practice, is to kind of negotiate those two, to leave what you're not responsible, leave it alone. And they say in Buddhism sometimes, don't take it personally. See it as just as something, it's not even yourself. Just stuff the happening. And then if you need to take something as being personal, it's that which is yourself, it's that part that you have choice over. And if you have choice, you have choice. If you think you have choice but you don't, then you don't. And just hold it lightly. But do value and focus on where you have choice. Do focus on how you can make a difference and how you relate to what's going on, how you can speak differently to your friends if that's what's useful, how you can hold things lighter, how you can drop things which are not necessary, not be involved in things which are not necessary, how you can be kinder to yourself and not look on yourself, and, you know, as in a negative way, because you take everything so seriously and so important. You take so much, you're responsible for everything, and you're weighed down by that. How can you find the place of choice? I think one of the most fundamental areas for liberation of choice has to do with how we relate to what our experience is. Whatever is going on, whatever arises, how do we relate to it? Do we relate to it with some kind of resistance? Do we relate to it with some kind of jumping on it or attacking it? Or do we jump on it with judgments? Do we relate to it with criticism or with approval? We have choice about how we relate. And so can we begin relating a little differently? And can we relate to it in a way that's wise? Can we relate to it in a way that brings us some more ease and peace? Can we, oddly enough, can we relate to our experience by not relating to it at all? Just let it be. Maybe we don't have to make a story or do anything. Maybe more often than we realize, we don't have to do anything. We have a choice. Just let it be. Just let it be. And sometimes we need to choose. And then if we see there is a choice, then we have the challenge of understanding what is the wise choice. What's the wise choice given what's here? And as you live this life of choice, mindful life of choice, you might keep in mind the back of your mind. Keep in mind this idea. What is liberation like? Like a gentle breeze in a warm spring day. Okay? Thank you.